Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not every sermon that we get to learn something from a teenager, and we're going to do that today. Mary's a teenager, 13 years old. What can we take away here this morning? You know, friends, Mary she's really a forgettable person. If you were living back in the day of Mary in that first century, the events that she went through were forgettable, and her life wasn't all that memorable, actually. What we know of Mary is that she came from probably a no-name family on the other side of town, like on the other side of Philomath, you know, over there, on the other side of the tracks. Scholars think that Mary, we don't really know who her family was. We think that she did come from lowly means, not a lot of money, that sort of thing, and significance of her family in the community she grew up. Mary's life is in shambles here. It's heartwarming to read this story, but actually, if you were there in the first century, this is a disaster. See, she's 13 years old and pregnant, well before the time that she's been married to Joseph. That's embarrassing. You know, this is the kind of thing that would have been talked about at Dairy Queen. On the side of the, you know, Dairy Queen getting talked about, this person that's pregnant at age 13. And if that news actually got to the right person in the community where Mary was, you see, the penalty was actually being stoned to death. Mary's life is in shambles. Not a lot of good things going on here. And the plans for the giving birth to this child, they're not great ones. This is the kind of person that we'd kind of scowl at. She doesn't have plans. She's wandering around with her husband. We'll read this in, actually, Luke chapter 2. It wasn't our text today. But she's wandering around, doesn't have a good home for this child. And just so happens, the child's born in Bethlehem and placed there in a manger, which we think was a feeding trough. It was the only place that they could find for this baby. Kind of lifestyle, the kind of life choices that in today's society, and even back then, not a memorable life, not all that remarkable. But when we look at Mary's life, we know that she is very special, and she is revered in remarkable ways. I just want to trace this for you in the different religions and Christian perspectives. In the Roman Catholic faith, I think you know this, my grandmother got up every morning and said this, Hail Mary, Mother full of grace, blessed is thy womb, blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. If you grew up in a Roman Catholic family, that was probably shared every single day. She's venerated. Same with Martin Luther, with Mary. If you study what Luther taught on Mary, Martin Luther actually wrote his own Hail Mary. He left out the parts that were not in the Bible, in the scripture, but he venerated Mary. Luther taught in the German churches that statues up on the altar of Mary should stay. He also taught that there should be three festivals in the church year for the veneration of Mary. Wow. The Eastern Orthodox Church, the other branch of Christianity, venerates Mary and gives great significance to her. Think about this in other religions. Islam. You know how Islam honors Mary? She's the only woman by name mentioned in the entire Quran. Mary is actually mentioned more in the book of Quran than she is in the entire New Testament of the Bible. Even in Islam, she is venerated for being the mother of Jesus. Wow. So on the one hand, she lives a fairly unremarkable life, a life of shattered dreams and shattered things that happen in her life, but she is remembered. And her song that I read here is the most sung song in different cultures and languages than any other song. I'm sorry, Mariah Carey. She's above Mariah Carey, believe it or not. So how did she do this? How did she become venerated and memorable? Did she apply some of those things that we do today to be remembered? What are some of those things that we do in the 21st century? Well, we take credit. We like to take credit for things that we do. You know, it's okay to perhaps take credit for something that someone else did. We like to do that today. Or we like to take credit for and expand the size and scope of our accomplishments. You ever do that? If your GPA is 3.83, you don't round down. You round up to 3.9. If you took a class and you attended for a few sessions, you put it on your resume. It doesn't matter if you completed it. You still put it down to get credit. If you caught a fish and it was this big, take a couple weeks and all of a sudden it becomes this big. You take credit. Mary does not do that. She doesn't take any credit. What is she doing? Is this a mistake? She is told that she is going to give birth to the Savior of the world. And boy, did that give a lot of opportunity for her to take credit. Like, boy, I was pregnant for 9 months and carried it all the way through the Middle East, all the way to the town of Bethlehem. Or she could have said, boy, the baby that I gave birth, what I did, changed the significance of the world. Mary doesn't do that. Mary doesn't take credit. Advanced Bible study here. If you look at the syntax of her song, which is the subject, verb, object ordering of the sentences, Mary is never the subject. God is the subject. There are no I statements in this song. She gives credit to God. What is she doing? We've got to get her a marketing agent to get her name out there. What a mistake. What do we like to do to get our name remembered by other people? Well, we like to take center stage, don't we? In the 21st century, easiest way to do that is to take that selfie. Maybe you're pretty good at that. You stick the phone out a little ways from you, and you click and take the picture, but you make sure that you have your better side in the picture, and you make sure that there's anyone that you don't like, that they're kind of scoped, that they're out of the picture. Or you Photoshop it later so that you are front and center. That's the way you can get looked at and remembered by others. Mary doesn't do that. She doesn't like being the center of attention. She describes herself in this text as a lowly servant. Again, in the language, this is really striking. It's actually closer to a slave. She ties herself to the Lord. She's completely fine with everyone looking at her as the handmaiden down the street that doesn't do a lot of important tasks and details. Mary, her song actually doesn't have a lot of flashy words in it. Justin Bieber would be really disappointed. This is not an advanced song. You see, Mary is much more resigned to staying out of the picture and giving center attention to God and his plan for salvation and Jesus. This is important for our youth. This is an important message. We're not remembered by taking center stage. We're not remembered by taking credit for things that we don't do. Mary is teaching us a lesson here this morning. How are we remembered? How can our names last for generations like Mary? I asked that question to someone a couple years here at Peace. How is it that someone's remembered? You may remember this, but a couple years ago we had a class in the fellowship hall called Write Your Story. It was really interesting. About 12 people would come around Tuesday afternoons, and they would write about their lives. And I asked that question to the teacher. I said, how is it that someone's remembered? And she said something that was actually kind of depressing. She said, Jeremy, you know what? Most people today will not be remembered. There are 60 billion people on the earth, she said, that have walked on the earth in the history of the planet. 60 billion people. And she said, with all the mobility and all the moving around of people, it's very rare for someone to have all the pieces of someone's life. She said, very rare for someone to know how a person was in their childhood. Very rare to know how someone operated in their college years. Very rare to know how someone operated in their adult years. People oftentimes are not remembered. That's why she taught the class. When she said that, I was stunned by that. But it was true. How special would it be if there was someone in our life who could hold all the pieces of our life and put it together so that we could be remembered forever. That's what Jesus was for Mary. Her life was a shambled mess. Pregnant at 13, no place, no home to give life to this child. When the child was born, he was popular, then he was unpopular, then he died on a cross. But here's the thing, Jesus was in the tomb. He was in the tomb for 3 days, and he rose again. And when he rose, you see, this is what this baby was born, the power that he was given. He was given the power to write the stories of those who would follow him. And all of a sudden, Jesus could hold the pieces of Mary's life, and they all made sense, the shattered pieces. Pregnant at 13, that was the way God could bring the Holy Spirit and conceive a child. Born in a backwater town called Bethlehem, that was God's plan to have the Savior born in Bethlehem. That's why she's remembered. She had someone to put all the pieces together so that she could be honored for the rest of her life. Middle schoolers, this may shock you. Mary did not have a Facebook account. Mary did not have Snapchat. Mary was not the most popular person in class. No one wanted to go over to Mary's class and hang out, but yet she is remembered for all time. Do you know that Jesus is here to do the same thing for you? He's here to write your story. If we were to write our own stories, they would be full of trying to get center stage, trying to take credit. We'd embellish it. We wouldn't be remembered for all time. But Jesus came into the world to write your story so you'll never be forgotten. Are you like Mary? Do you have pieces? Is your life in pieces and shredded apart? Jesus can put it back together. The wrong in your life that you've done, the wrong that's been done to you, the good that you've done, Jesus can put it together. Isn't that what the end of the Bible is all about? Jesus is on the throne. And right next to him, Revelation 21 says, is the book of the Lamb. In that book is Mary's name. On page 7, I imagine. And then on page 14, Wally, your name's going to be in that book. Jesus writes your story. You know, on page 21, Henry, your name's going to be in that book. Who else? Terry, page 30, your name in that book. No one can take that away. Jesus writes our story. May that be the Christmas gift we take home this year. Jesus can put together our lives as he did with Mary. Amen. Let's sing our sermon song, O Come All Ye Faithful.